Hare Krishna. Thank you for chanting along. This chanting Hare Krishna is, one sense, a very easy thing. Just these three words, Hare, Krishna, and Rama. And the mantra is 16 words, also very easy. But it's an extraordinary science to actually penetrate deeply into the essence of the mantra, which is Krishna himself. In Sanskrit, it's called Abhinatvan Nama Namino. Ultimately, when one makes real contact with Krishna's holy name, then one connects with Krishna. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's the source of everything. He's Anuvaranayan Mahato Mahayan. He's bigger than biggest, and he's smaller than smallest. He's outside of everything. He's inside everything. Everything is in him. Everything is outside of him. He's inconceivable, but he's also a cowardly boy who tends to cows. Actually, I just want to say it's always a real pleasure to be here with Anil and Parvin in their home. It's not every wealthy man who opens their home to the chanting of the holy name and who worships a form of Krishna, who stands up and chants Hare Krishna. I can't remember that incident so well back in 1984, as anyone does. But at least my prior profession, we have a common profession. I was also a metallurgist involved in the mining industry. But I left that to become a devotee. I realized that I didn't want to be crushing stones for the rest of my life to see what was inside it. And that it was better to learn Srila Prabhupada's science of melting hearts. There's more inside hearts than there is inside of stones. Although Krishna's also inside the stones, but he's there in a different way. And tonight, I thought that we could speak just a few words about the wonderful treasure that His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder of this Krishna consciousness movement, has actually given us all. Now, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he would go to sleep around 10 o'clock at night, if he went to sleep. And he would usually get up from his bed around midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, and he would start to translate and comment specifically on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ishopanishad. Prabhupada wanted, he did this all the way up until 6:30 in the morning. Then the rest of his day was usually taken with traveling, spreading Krishna consciousness, meeting guests, speaking with devotees, giving lectures, taking prasadam. Prabhupada would rest again in the afternoon for 45 minutes to an hour after lunch. But more or less, Prabhupada saw his mission was to actually present to the world India's culture. And India's culture is contained within the Vedic literature. And Nigama Kalpataroa Galitam Phalam. Nigama is the Vedic literature, and the phalam, or the fruit of that Vedic literature, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukamukadambitam Dravasam Jutam. Kimva Parerishvaraha. Srimad Bhagavatam says, if you have this, you don't need anything else. Prabhupada's spiritual master would sometimes say that if all the books in the world were lost or destroyed, there would be no loss of knowledge, real knowledge. Because all knowledge is contained within Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If we really define what real knowledge is, and knowledge is to fulfill the real purpose of life. Knowledge of technology and so on we use in order to live in the world, in order to feed ourselves, maintain ourselves, but where are we going? I came here in a car, it's a nice car, but ultimately it's just a vehicle to get me here. So birth, Krishna says, that where are we going? We're on a journey. We have this vehicle, this body. We have this vehicle, this life that facilitates that journey. But ultimately, the real issue is, where are we leaving? Where are we going to when we actually leave this body? What have we achieved in this life that will ensure our future? We certainly live in a world where people are extremely concerned about their future. They want to build a future for themselves, and for that purpose they get good education, they get a good profession, they get good employment, because they want to ensure for themselves and of course successive generations. But ultimately, to other generations you can only offer. The only people we really have control over is ourselves. So we're concerned about the future, but what about the future? What about the future that lies beyond this body? What about the next body? What do we do to ensure that body? So that science is contained within actually the wisdom of Indian transcendental literature, which Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna, as I mentioned earlier, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they considered that this was actually the real gift of India to the world. It was something that, you know, the rest of the world, for the most part, is oblivious of. Although the British came to India some hundreds of years ago to make them all civilized, but you should know that 2,000 years ago, people in this country ran around naked, and fighting each other tooth and limb. So much for the tradition of the English gentleman. And but rather, India's wealth is this knowledge which begins, as in Brahma Sutra. Atatu Brahma Jignasa. Now that we've attained this human form of life, now is the time to inquire, who are we? Brahma Jignasa. What is the purpose of life? What is the nature of truth? Is everything just about an end with no real purpose beyond that? Or is there real meaning to life? Is there real goal to life? Is there something else that we need to attain other than just our temporary well-being? So these things are described very, very beautifully in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why it's called Srimad. It's very beautiful. It's the essence of all Vedic literature. And Srimad Bhagavatam presented, Srila Prabhupada presented the Srimad Bhagavatam with the idea that this knowledge could change the world. It certainly changed our world. Those of you who are here, it's changed your world to one degree or another. It changed my world. It changed my world view. And over and above that, changing world means it changes your consciousness. It changes how we perceive things, how we relate to things. In earlier times, I would think that this was simply a microphone. But actually, Krishna says, Bhumirapalo Vayu Kamano Buddhirevacha, that this is actually Bina Praktiti Ashtada. This is actually the energy of God. It is not just a microphone. It's not separated from Him. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra. In fact, everything is connected to Krishna by being part of Krishna's potencies or Krishna's energy. And our consciousness is something that determines how we perceive things. Just like little children. You give little children, you give them your shoe, what do? They put it in their mouth. Why? Because that's their consciousness. The shoes aren't meant to go on people's mouths. Shoes are meant to go on your feet. Well, your consciousness evolves a little, and then you realize that, yes, that's where I should put the shoe. I shouldn't put it in my mouth. So similarly, how do we develop our consciousness to its ultimate and its perfectional stage? How do we fine-tune? We see how our consciousness even changes in this life. Education facilitates a different way of seeing things. Knowledge changes our consciousness because this is a microphone, but it's actually not a microphone. It looks like a microphone, but it's actually atoms. How do I know that it's atoms? Well, that's knowledge. By knowledge, I know that this is more than just what it looks like. There's actually a lot behind it. So knowledge allows us to actually transform our consciousness and to understand there's more than what meets the eye. This is not a wall. This is also molecules, atoms, just made of atoms and electrons and other subatomic particles. It's in that shape of a wall. How do I know? Because we have the science, we have physics, chemistry, that gives us that type of knowledge. So actually in the world that we live in, there's more than meets the eye. Well, what's behind the atom? Is that all there is? Well, that's what materialists would have us believe. But Srimad Bhagavatam gives us another perception, that actually behind the atom, there's actually Krishna. Now, the atom in Bhagavatam is called Anu. It's the smallest particle. But it's also stated in Shastra, Andantarasta Paramanu Chayam Tarastam, that Krishna is present within every atom. He makes an atom be. He gives it the energy. He makes the electrons spin around the atoms. And actually he's present within atom, within electron. Everything exists because he's there. It just takes a certain type of consciousness to understand that, in the same way that it takes a certain type of educated consciousness to understand that. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than knowledge. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives a knowledge of the world, of the phenomenal world, which is much, much different than the materialistic view that we have. Because when you're a materialist, it means you say, all right, this may not be a microphone, but beyond the atom, there's nothing. But a transcendentalist says, no, that's one type of belief, but beyond the atom, there may be something else. How do I do the experiment to verify that? So Srimad Bhagavatam also gives the process of Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, of actually cleansing our consciousness, purifying our consciousness, so that we actually see the atoms. You know that there is one of the Sat Darshan, one of the six philosophical methodologies, that of Gautama, which is to be able to fine-tune your consciousness so that ultimately you can perceive the atom. By purified consciousness and the senses empowered by a certain type of consciousness whereby the human mind can perceive the atom. It's a material science, and it's as far as the material science can take you. But Chaita Dharpana Marjanam is another process. And as I mentioned earlier, Paramvijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam, this chanting Hare Krishna, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, cleanses the consciousness so that one can actually see Krishna within everything. But you have to do the experiment, and that's why it's a science. So people say, well, that's a nice belief, that's your belief. No, we're not talking about belief, we're talking about science. Science means that here's the experiment. You do the experiment and you get the result. The experiment may take you 20, 30, 50 years, But if you do it properly, you will get the result. And you cannot discount it unless you've done the experiment. You cannot just say, that's your belief. It's not a belief. I say, this is science. You disprove it by performing the experiment and showing that it may not work. But it does. So Krishna says, Bahavogyana tapasaputramad bhajmavita. Many, many people have performed this experiment and they have actually come to understand that there's a lot more than meets the eye. It's a nice English saying. There's more to things than meets the eye. Similarly, there's more to this world than meets the eye. And India's culture is meant to actually open up our vision, to actually see what really exists beyond the imminent, and to actually see the ultimate cause of everything. So Krishna is called Sarva Karana Karana. Karana means cause. Everything has a cause. There's an engineer behind this. There's a designer. Who is the designer of the designer? Who's the designer of the engineer? It's fallacious, in one sense, very interesting that intelligent people can accept such things as explosions, black holes, nothing as being the cause of everything that we see. When if, for instance, I suggested to the manufacturer of this smart cap IQ that this just came out of nowhere. There was a bang in the bathroom and all of a sudden out popped this big screen. No one would believe me. Why do I believe that that this whole universe and this planet's floating with its trees and order and perfection, that it all comes out of nothing? This has a designer. Who's the designer of the designer? So that is called Sarva Karana Karana, the cause of all causes. And of course, people say, all right, then where did God come from? No, that's the definition of God. He has no origin, anadi. Anadi, adi, govinda, sarva, karana, karana. So to that point that Shruti Dharma Prabhu brought up about how is it that we can balance our lives both with fulfilling our obligations within this world, but ultimately fulfilling the ultimate obligation to our soul. Not just fulfilling the obligation to our body, but what's our obligation to our soul. But that balance we have to do. In the modern world, it's not really something to hear from me. There's so many expert management consultants who talk about time management. So you all know all about time management. Now it's a question of priority. You manage time according to what the priorities are. If this is a priority, then we'll make time for it. Eating is a priority, we make time for it. Sleeping is a priority, other things are a priority, but this has to be the top priority because this is about us. This is about our souls. Whereas everything else is about our bodies. And those bodies are temporary and they'll go. Tathādi hantara prāptiya. So somehow or another, these two things, daily reading at least one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's explanation, there are 18,000 verses, 365 days means, that's about 45 years. Okay, well, how about two verses? That takes a long time, 45. This is, I actually just started this program of reading. I read all of Srimad Bhagavatam in about 4 months. Every day I would just read one chapter. So there's 180 chapters, and you can read it very, very easily. But even if it's just one verse a day, and we chant one round, one of mala, of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it will change our consciousness. The world will look different. Because the consciousness will change, will actually start to see that there's more than just meets the eye. That there's more than just walls here and microphones and people and obligations and necessities, but there's a creator, and I have a relationship with that creator, and my real duty is to reawaken that relationship with him. That behind everything there's Krishna. So budgeting some time for Bhagavatam, chant Hare Krishna, and that will make life successful. And as we get on in life, just today, in fact, just before I was coming, I was listening, Prabhupada was saying how, yes, Vedic culture is Pancha Urdhvavanam Bhajat. You're 50 years old. Well, anyway, that's the Shastra. You retire. At age 50, you retire, and you spend your time in spiritual pursuit. Not working up until it's time for us to depart, until we step into the grave or samadhi, but rather that we end our material obligations and at some point hand it over to next generation. And now we say, now I have to spend full time. This was the Indian tradition. It's not something that we dreamt up of here in the West. That's what actually real retirement was about. It isn't about playing chess, going off fishing, playing golf. It's about, all right, now I only have time for one round of mala. Now I'm going to chant 64 a day. Now I'm going to just study 3-4 hours a day of Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is what life is all about. And this is why I prepared this nest egg for the future. So Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam is available. Soho Street, Bhaktivinoda Manor, beautiful set of books. And Japamala. So these two things, if we keep contact with these, it will really transform our lives. And it will bring us that which we are always hankering for. Something that we really want. We're always looking, because we're never fully satisfied. But generally we're looking in the wrong place instead of looking in the right place. So the right place is actually within, and the wrong place is without. Everything is already within us. Now how to bring it out. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
And some more kirtan, and then we'll have final presentation.
Okay, sweet. Kirtan was sent to Jai Radha Madhava.
Yeah.
Aside from chanting Hare Krishna, we also sing other, there are so many other beautiful bhajans, everyone knows, different songs. There is Nan Kirtan, Leela Kirtan, Guna Kirtan. This is also Krishna's Leela Kirtan.